It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Lloyd, happy Saturday morning. I know that's a loud voice coming at you this early in the morning, but hey, it's Saturday. We're in the middle of football season, and you're listening to the Mark Lloyd Show right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers and also the home of the Buccaneer Report that will take place a little bit later on in the show. And oh boy, we have a lot of pigskin to talk about this early morning to set you up for the whole day. And of course, Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their first preseason game takes place tonight. But before we get to any of that, we got to welcome in the crew, Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric. Seminole, how are you?
Doing fine. I heard you. You're so excited. You're ready to put us already into football season. I know we're into the football camps.
Well, you know what? That's good enough for us, Seminole Bill, right?
You know it.
We don't have to speculate anymore.
No more. We're there, man. We're at the precipice right now. We're ready to go.
So you're ready to go, Terminus Eric?
I'm ready.
All right, hey, that's a little peppy for being this early in the morning. Good for you.
The few words,
I like
man.
It.
He's ready to go.
Yes, he is. He's perfect. You are the ideal person to do a thank you acceptance speech and an Oscar presentation.
Oh.
You win the award, you go up there, you say, thank you.
That's it.
They don't even have to play the music for you, and you walk out. They would love you, that's for sure.
Do a mic drop.
Well, you know what, Seminole Bill? We're going to talk some Florida State football coming up in Seg 2. As I mentioned earlier, the Buccaneers report. Very excited. I know you are. I am. Probably all of Tallahassee and a lot of the NFL, and we know darn well the Tampa Bay area is pumped up for the first preseason game so they can see Jameis Winston in action for the first time. But you know what? When I look back on this week, and this is our one chance to talk about all the events that took place during the week, what a bizarre week.
Yes.
Just what a weird week, and we have to mention what took place with the New York Jets.
Oof.
And Geno Smith, which I was curious to ask you, have you ever heard of that happening to basically your starting quarterback, that he gets punched out?
All I can say about that is that at that level and with all the stuff that's riding on Geno this year and the Jets and them trying to turn around, and you just got to realize, man, you got to put the ego in check sometimes and understand you can't go after certain players even if you're ticked off about something that has nothing to do with football. You got to leave it alone. And I was just shocked. I really was. Not to say that does not happen on the field, that you can't get in a confrontation just because you're a quarterback, your mitts off. What concerned me, and probably some other folks, and I've heard comments on it, maybe you could say something about this, is that for it to happen like that and nobody, I mean, really seemed to come to his rescue. I mean, you know, it just seemed like he's got up.
You're right, and now what they're saying is that he deserved it. That Geno was being a punk, putting his finger in his face. And what a lot of people are saying is, dude, why didn't you pay him the $600? Like, you can't afford $600?
Yeah.
Obviously, it meant something to the guy in the circumstances, and you do pay the money. You never put, and that's part of being a leader. You
Correct.
Lead by example, and Correct. You're supposed to lead this NFL team, a team that's investing in you. And I think his career is done with New York.
I really
if Ryan Fitzpatrick does anything, yeah, I mean, one, they didn't, he might, he, people were speculating that Fitzpatrick was the better quarterback, but because Geno Smith is so young, and that's who they invested their draft pick in, that you got to at least give him a crack. Let us see what he can do. Let's see if he's matured at all. Let's see if the game is slowing down for him, kind of like the way Teddy Bridgewater seems like to be making strides in Minnesota.
Right.
Same way that Tampa hopes that Jameis Winston will make strides in the same area, but I think it's all she wrote, because even Todd Bowles, the new head coach for the Jets, mentioned that if Fitzpatrick is playing well, whoever the quarterback is, and the team is playing well, and Geno Smith is able to come back, too bad. You're sitting on the bench, pal, which tells me that he's not that important. And for nobody to come to his defense, like you mentioned, and for people now to say that he deserves it, that shows you what they thought of Geno Smith. And there was questions of him coming out of West Virginia, and obviously the Jets didn't do a good enough due diligence, because maybe he has no business being a starting quarterback in the NFL. So that was bizarre. And also, with a quarterback, Cam Newton getting into a fight on the football field with the defensive back, and a lot of teams and analysts have said that that's just insane.
Yeah.
You have a red non-contact jersey on. You throw an interception. Why on earth are you going after the guy in a practice over there to run him out of bounds or whatever the case is, and then to get into a fight with him, especially when they just invested in you $20-something million per year over however many years when he got his big contract? That all it took was a broken finger him to get injured, that he's out 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's crazy.
Anything. I mean, you could jam a finger. Man, it's silly how easy it is. We always talk about it. I was a punter and a quarterback and all that, and they always joke about the kickers and the punters, but realistically, as a quarterback, you're nowadays, especially, they're putting all the mitts on you to try and keep you from getting injured, and there you are throwing yourself into a situation. Look, leadership's one thing. Foolishness is another. You want to.
Good point.
You be a leader, and be a leader thinking, I need to be out here, and if the tempers flare, I'll tell you firsthand, man, I have a temper on the football field. I have a temper on the football field when I was playing, too. I never got to that high level, but I'm just saying, if I was at that level, you got to use your head. I mean, it's just like we say about certain things that happen at the college level. When you do something foolish and you get in trouble, you're thinking, what are you doing? You're messing up the rest of your life. Same thing there. You've got all these guys dependent on you. You haven't even started playing football this year yet. Don't do something stupid just to prove your mojo. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to do that. Leave that for the other team. Let that happen somewhere else, not to your team.
I agree 100% with you. So you have that whole bizarre situation. You have the whole Deflategate thing that seems to never go away. Preseason kicking off, and here's what's so bizarre, Somerville. The NFL, football in general, but the NFL is so big and powerful. Oh, by the way, Anik Bey or whatever the guy's name that punched Geno Smith has already got picked up by the Bills.
You're right.
He's already got signed
by the rival team. Yeah. Right? How about that?
And then you have the Browns possibly looking at Ray Rice to come on board. So who knows if that happens? But I guess what I'm trying to get at is that the first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, the Vikings and the Steelers that we talked about, the rating that they get beats like every other show on television. A preseason meaningless game and all this negative controversy that people talked about still pulls in one of the highest numbers, and it just tells you that no matter what happens, the NFL and football in general just cannot go wrong. They just can't go wrong.
It is amazing. I mean, it's like the soap operas, like as the football turns and everything's going on crazy, and you would think
people like
no way am I paying attention. But it's just like the old wrestling, man. The fans get ready to go, they get pulled back in, and let's go with the storylines and let's see what happens. And my team's got as great a shot as anybody else. We're 0-0 right now, preseason, feeling the oats. Let's go, boys. I mean, we're right up against the cliff and we're ready to dive over it.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. And a few other news and notes, too, that kind of, obviously, it's Florida State, ex-Florida State players, but Calvin Benjamin seems to be the man now.
Yeah.
In Carolina. He's the top dog for the wide receiver. So let's see what he can do, because I think it could be great things for him this upcoming season. Calvin Benjamin, he had a great rookie year, and now he can possibly follow that up by being the top dog on the team, and Cam Newton's going to throw the ball to him all the time. So that's good news, right, Simba Bill?
Oh, man, love to see that. What a progression. The kid, now the man, you know, he really made the change near the end of his career at FSU, and he it's showing his work going in, working harder, doing things, wanting to be more of a playmaker and the leader. You know, it's right in front of him now. He's got it's all in front of him. Just focus, make those plays that he's capable of making. And wow, what a great receiver to have on your team. Would you love to be able to throw to that guy?
Yes. And now on the flip side, AJ Manuel, he just seems to get, well, not better. I don't know any other way to put it. He's now third on the depth chart with the Buffalo Bills. So Matt Castle is going to start. Tyrod Taylor, the former Virginia Tech guy,
wow,
is going to start and back up Cassell ahead of E.J. Manuel. And I got to tell you this, though. I like E.J., great guy, represented Florida State, fantastic. But there was just a part of me that always said, boy, I don't know why they're taking him that early. He seems with a quarterback, you have to be a step ahead. He was always seemed to be a step behind. And that was perfect with Florida State because all you ever saw was Jimbo Fisher with that bewildered look on his face looking at him like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, we've gone over this 1,000 times. The guy's wide open. Why did you throw it behind him? Why didn't you throw it earlier?
It's tough.
That's,
you know, it's tough to watch as a Seminole fan, but, you know, we saw that in some of the games we saw here, and there are some things he can do and other things he never could, and it's unfortunate. It's a different level. You know, it really is. There's a totally different level there. You cannot make any, you know, mistakes. After your rookie year, you got to be on the swivel. You got to be doing it right every time or you're going to be exposed for your knowledge, your ability, or your lack thereof.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. All right, Silver Bill, when we come back, we're going to talk some Florida State football. And also, though, I wanted to run a trend by you that maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like it's jumping out at me in college football that it's kind of a generic topic real quick. And we'll talk some Florida State football. I want to get your thoughts on the Dalvin Cook situation, also how things are progressing during the camp, as well as let's take a look at their schedule and maybe what some of those pitfalls are, and you really dive into the schedule, especially opening up against Texas State. All right, coming up, stay with us, folks, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Seminole Bill
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show, and we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. That means more opportunities to listen to Gene Deckerhoff, which is never a bad thing.
You're here.
Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. I second the motion there, Seminole Bill. All right, before we get to some Florida State talk, I did want to get your thoughts on this, Seminole Bill. I don't know if I'm off on this or I know everything in all sports is cyclical, okay?
I'm with you.
Well, I'm looking at some of the top teams out there in the country,
And it's really interesting how it seems like the running game, the running backs now, on a lot of title hopeful teams, has taken over as the number one feature. That there's a lot of teams out there with question marks at quarterback, but not at the running back situation. Now, hear me out real quick. These teams that will rely on their running game, that means run first, pass second. You might say Alabama, but that's not always the case. Now with Amari Cooper there last year, they threw the heck out of the ball. But this year, they don't know who the quarterback is. They're going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. Florida State. When Dalvin Cook gets in there, and he will get in there, I'll let you comment on Cook's situation in a minute, Bill, but Dalvin Cook is going to carry the load. With Arizona State, DJ Foster, with Georgia, Nick Chubb, Georgia's quarterback up in the air too. With I'm trying to think, there was a with Tennessee, Jalen Hurd is going to run the ball because the quarterback situation's up. There's only out there in Oregon, some of the Bill.
Yeah.
You have, they don't know who the quarterback's going to be, so they're going to run the ball at Byron Marshall. There's only a handful of teams that you could say, oh, they're going to throw first.
Yeah.
And that
TCU.
Is.
TCU.
TCU. That is Southern Cal, because they have their quarterbacks back. UCLA, they're going to rely on Paul Perkins because they don't know who the quarterback is going to be. They're counting on a true freshman. There's only one team that will run the ball a lot but also could throw the ball. That's Ohio State. They're loaded. Ezekiel Elliott is a great running back. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's going to run the football too.
And our friends down mid-state, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, they got to stabilize their
well, they're
offense.
Just a disaster. Florida's an awful offense, so they don't have any idea what to do because they can't do anything. So they can't really run the ball. And on top of that, they can't throw the football. So they'll be inept like they have been recently.
Cool.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good for them. But isn't that an interesting trend? I mean, do you agree or disagree? It seems like, hang on. LSU.
Yeah.
Maybe the best running back in the country in Leonard Fournette.
Well, that's a great problem.
Look how bizarre that is.
Yeah.
It is, but look, they don't know who their quarterback is.
That just points out, like you said about the cyclical nature of college football, ups and downs, and also, when your cupboard gets bare a little bit, not so much bare, it's just, hey, look, our freshman quarterback, our sophomore quarterback, or our redshirt quarterback didn't get much playing time, so we have to make sure that we stabilize the offense some way. So, the bottom line is back in the day, way back in the day, running backs were the key ingredient to a great offense. I mean, they absolutely were. You have to have, and still today you could say the same. Coach Fisher preaches, as do many coaches, balance. You want to have balance to your offense. You don't want to be, and you need. Look, we saw this with FSU a few years ago. We couldn't get the doggone ball in the end zone. We'd get down in the four or five, inside the 5 yard line, and we just had a problem sticking it in the end zone. And that was weird because we did have some talent, we're supposed to. On both the line and at the RB position. But you have to have that for a lot of reasons, and you got to lean on it hard when you don't have what you would consider a star quarterback coming in or what you would call an experienced quarterback starting. And that's what you're going to get from all these guys. It's just that these big dog teams have all been, hit with their great QBs and they've now that's a cycle, like you said, and we used to do this back at FSU. We used to talk about how the cycle used to be, and if you get off your cycle too long, that really hurts your team if you don't have a good QB to come back along. We remember what happens when you lose a quarterback to injury, knock on wood, or you lose a quarterback because he doesn't meet expectations, and that throws your whole offense out of balance if you don't have a good running game to go along with your passing game.
Boy, that is so true. So now let's talk a little Florida State football. Some of the Bill, their second week going on of practices and everything, so it's a very exciting time. This past week brought, I would say, good news, bad news, good news. Start off with the good news. Dalvin Cook, his trial has been moved up to, I think it's August 24th. Bottom line is, I think it's looking really strong that, and I hope he's staying in shape, that he'll be able to, I think he's going to be out there for the Texas State game. I think that it ends right there, and they're able to get him on the football field. I mean, at least that's what everybody's hoping.
Yep.
But regardless, that's still good news in Mobile.
Well, you know, we've got one small luxury in that we do have a running back coming in that we saw even as a freshman that can contribute. And regardless of how quickly Dalvin comes along, the one thing Dalvin does have is the experience factor. If he is cleared to play, and you know, I'm sure Noel fans everywhere are hoping he will be, if he's, you know, found at a certain level he can get back on the field, then that absolutely would be a help, huge boost to the Seminole offense, because then you have him and, of course, Jacques, you know, Patrick, I mean –
John Patrick, and then, of course, Mario Pender.
Mario Pender. We can't forget about Mario. I mean, we forget about Mario.
Well,
he's been kind of out of the picture. But, boy, what a bad problem to have if Mario Pender is your second or third running back, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And so far out of the camp, it sounds like Jimbo Fisher's really praising him, that he's doing outstanding. And the question mark with Pender is obviously always his injury situation.
Right.
But he seems to be a China doll. The bad news, Matthew Thomas.
Can't.
And I was talking to my brother about this. I mean, Florida State, the up-and-down battle, the battle to get Matthew Thomas to come to Florida State, then him waver on the situation thinking he doesn't want to go there after he signed. Maybe he wants to go to Southern Cal. Then for him to say, okay, I am a Noel, to get in trouble off the field, to miss half the year. Then to get injured. Then to get hopes up again. Then to get injured again, he's going to be out. And now to find out he's ineligible for the whole 2015 season.
You know,
five-star linebacker just cannot get on. Can you?
Our linebackers are really just taking it. I mean, you just want to say, come on, man. What the?
Yes.
You know, you want to pull your hair out. It is the one thing on defense that we just have not been able to lock down. I mean, you're going to have some things happen. Injuries occur. But silly, these other things that can't happen and do happen really got to make you want to pull your hair out if you're a coach or, you know, position coach. You can't ever get out of playing nickel and dime defense anymore at FSU right now. It's like 60 to 70% nickel and dime because we don't have our middle strong enough to do some other things. And it really hurts us sometimes. It really does. I mean,
Yeah. We've
gotten away with it a few times, but it's going to hurt you when you got a real solid team that can run right up the middle or run on your guards or tackles, and you don't have somebody to fill that gap or that can, you know, take the fake and get back in pass protection out of a regular set versus nickel and dime formations. It just takes some away from you being able to do that you want to be able to do as a defense.
And you hear he's such a great talent, too.
Yeah, I know it.
Can't get his head straight, can't get his body straight. So that was the bad news. The good news is, though, it's Phillips, the JUCO transfer, finally got everything cleared, and now he's out there on the field. And that's exactly the one position that Florida State needs somebody to come in at. Linebacker, four-star recruit coming out of high school, played for LSU, transferred, now is at Tallahassee, the number one JUCO linebacker in the country. And, boy, as they lose Thomas, they bring in this guy, and he's really going to need to learn to pick up the system fast because, obviously, he's extremely important for this defense to be successful.
Yeah, well, you know, change the L to an F, move the Tiger to a Seminole, welcome him in because we need him, and we need him to be able to jump out there and play well. And I would think, whatever happened to LSU notwithstanding, that he was out there in a very high-profile team with you know, coaches that teach NFL mechanics and fundamentals and all that good stuff. So he should be able to be almost plug and play as soon as he picked up the way we run our defense. That's it. I mean, you're taking – it's just like
a
trade.
That's a point, though, where he came from.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
They're a great defensive
team.
They really are. Every year they have a good defensive team. So he should be able to come
in
here really – he's not going to have to get acclimated to the weather. It's humid and hot over there just like it is here. Everything that you would think. I mean, it's different if he's coming from a school up north where he's not used to the heat. All those little things going to be able to jump in there and be – ready to play. And if he's been keeping himself, you know, in shape, then he should be okay. All the word is that he should be able to, you know, line up and grasp the system and then contribute, which is what we really need.
I didn't even think of that. That was an excellent point about where he came from, how important that was, and the talent level that he was going up against. So you know that he is a stud. Right. And that he's not going to be overwhelmed by speed of Florida State because he was there with speed at LSU. Now, I know he's had a little downtime now because he was at the JUCO ranks, but still. Other good news coming out of Tallahassee is that, holy smokes, this Josh Sweat guy. I guess it's great to be young, Seminoleville.
Man.
I mean, it's great to be young. He is back from this knee injury right now, and I'm going to knock on our studio wood here because I don't want to jinx him. You are too. Very good. But, boy, it's a freaky recovery, and it's kind of one of those make no bones about it. The guy is a machine.
Yeah,
is what we're hearing, is that the dude is a stud and that he will get after that quarterback.
Yeah, and then that's, man, I mean, we, after all the cover being rated over the last few years of our guys who can actually make a difference on the outside, boy, do we need someone like this guy. Heard the same things, different people talking, comments coming from the coaching staff. They really like this dude. You hear Coach Fisher make some statements early on in guys' careers about, you know, Benjamin was one of them. You mentioned Benjamin earlier about how the ability and all the things that are the intangibles are there. This guy's got it all, man. I mean, he really does, and they really like him. And this could be one of your, you know, big studs on the outside. It could also be a, you know, contribute both, you know, talent-wise, maybe as a leader. If he, you know, tough dude, we need that. We need that edge again that we, you know, carried a couple of years ago on our defense. We really need that edgy, you know, hard, you know, go for the throw defense back here in Tallahassee.
That's right. I need some pressure. It was embarrassing. 115th in the nation, I think, or something in the stack department. That means you're literally one of the top five worst teams to sack a quarterback, which is crazy. Before we went to break, I said that we wanted to get into the schedule a little bit. And,
yes.
And not necessarily break down Texas State. I mean, that's boring radio. But I think, and let me have your opinion on this, is that because of the way Florida State is and who is young, I guess deemed young on this football team, and the question marks that are out there, the schedule sets up really nice for developing a quarterback, for possibly developing a running back if Dalvin Cook is not able to come back, for developing some of these young guys that are playing new positions on defense, for the Phillips out there, the linebacker, for maybe the new defensive backs that are going to be, for even for a Jalen Ramsey who's going to be playing DB, to open up against Texas State,
yep,
South Florida, and then at Boston College, which is never a cakewalk, trust me.
No.
But at least they have three games like that really sets them up, I think, to understand the system, to get their feet wet.
Yeah, you're right about that, and depending on who our quarterback is, that's going to be important as well, because you know, everyone's you know, you hear the talk that Everett's, you know, doing his thing, and he's you know, trying to pick up everything. He's out there working hard. If Golson winds up being that quarterback that offers a dual pass run threat, then that will help a little bit. If Sean McGuire starts it out against Texas State, have no doubt that he could beat Texas State. He's got the mechanics to do that. You saw him beat Clemson. South Florida coming in here, that's going to be a fun game. You know, early on, people might think that, yeah, they're not going to be anything special. Maybe they don't have the studs they had a few years ago on the defense and the offense. But that's going to turn out to be a fun game to have on the schedule. I hope we get them often, to be honest with you. I like those in-state games with teams like that. And they were a program on the rise, and maybe they can turn it around. But they'll be a fun game, and they'll bring a good crowd. At Boston College,
that shows you the importance of a good coach. Jim Levitt leaves, and the team's awful.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
and for Florida State's sake, they won't have B.J. Daniels as the quarterback.
Who's giving
us all kinds of fits.
Yeah, he gave us the business. But right, you said, you know, at Boston College, at Wake Forest, you know, BC's a challenging game. But, you know, you'll be, you know, three games in, and by that time you should have some things answered about how you're playing your football. Then on the road to Wake Forest, you know, Wake wasn't very good. They were 3-9 last year. That they've got a lot of things they got to clean up to be back at the type of ball they used to be years ago. And then smack dab right there in the middle of October 10th, you've got the boys coming in, the Canes coming in, which should be a great matchup, and then Louisville right behind them.
Yeah.
Big game right
there. And then at Georgia Tech.
Oh yeah,
they are
going to be a tough team this year, dude. They are really.
Oh heck yeah,
really
Justin Thomas running that show.
Going to be a tough team.
Yeah,
Syracuse after that.
You're right.
At home, I don't see Syracuse being anything that we're going to have to worry about right now until they have a few more years to recruit in our systems. But then the big one you get is circle it in big red ink is November 7th at Clemson. And, you know, we've got plenty of –
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Your gut feeling.
Yes.
Is Florida State undefeated going into that Clemson game?
Woo! That's a good question.
I think they are.
I think they will be, but I would tell you this. Could we lose to a Louisville? Yeah. Could we lose to a Georgia Tech? Oh, yeah, at Georgia Tech. Sure could. Syracuse, not worried about it. The only two games I see on right now ahead of us that really pose the biggest threats, well, there's three of them, is that little bunch, Miami, Louisville, and at Georgia Tech. Those are your three big games set, you know, I mean, that's it. You know, if you get through that mess right there, then your schedule, you know, irons out pretty good, and you've got one big ball game perhaps for the conference, for our side of the conference title, you know.
All right, Silverbelt. We'll get into the last three games maybe next week, but they finish off with NC State, then Chattanooga, then at the arch rival, the Florida. Sorry, Gators. So, but we got to take a break, and when we come back, Silverbelt, we're going to do the Bucks report.
That's right.
And Jameis Winston makes his debut tonight. Very exciting. All that coming up next, right here on the Mark Boyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Joe, thanks for hanging with us this early morning, as you do each and every week. Terminus Eric, Seminole Bill, and myself, Mark Lloyd, we do appreciate it. Here on Freedom 93. Now, right now, it's time for our Buccaneers report. Every single week, since we are the home of the Bucs, we will give you, I guess, kind of our 2 cents a little, hopefully during the season, some inside tips that we find out from some of our sources about what's going on and with the Buccaneers team, especially with Jameis Winston leading the charge. So each week we focus a few minutes on just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you know what, Seminole Bill, the Bucs play their preseason game tonight. It's Jameis Winston's debut as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer against the Minnesota Vikings. Nobody's indicated how long he'll play yet, but I'm sure, you know, he'll play a quarter. Maybe he'll play a couple quarters, then they'll get Mike Glennon out there, whatever the case is. Let me ask you, before we get into some other details about what's been going on in the camp and who's been doing well, and something interesting, one of the offseason pickups that they picked up, Tony McDaniel, a defensive tackle, who's 6'7", 315 pounds, what he had to say about the Buccaneers as a whole. But you, with your football knowledge, what are you hoping to see out of Jameis tonight?
Well, let's just see if in a game situation, you know, going against another team. In fact, a team that's already had one game under their belt, which, you know, the old axiom, you make more improvement with the, you know, game one to two. So he'll be getting out there for his first foray with the offense and getting to go against, you know, different colored jerseys, if you will. Let's just see how he handles the whole – orchestration, if you will, of being an NFL quarterback. That's
season. But is there anything in particular, Simo Bill? Like any? Are you looking to see if he has happy feet?
Yeah, of course.
Not necessarily concerned about him throwing for 200 yards,
right,
and six touchdowns or something like that. But what are you keeping an eye on, maybe, with your football eye?
I'm just going to watch and see how he goes through his progressions a little bit. Obviously, with the speed issue, it's a little bit different. You got to be a little bit another step ahead than even at the college level. So just the way he reads the defense, finds his reads, finds his cues, and how he feels when he's dropping back in the pocket. You'll see that right off. And how you know, he takes his first sack, you know, getting up and playing with the big boys. It's just all those little things. Once it happens, all the jitters go out the window, and you can start settling down and play ball. You make your first throw, you make your first snap, your first throw, your first getting popped, if you will. After that,
sure.
It's you're fine. You level out, and you play football. And that's if he settles down like I believe he will after that, then he'll do just fine.
He'll be famous, Jameis. You know what the good news is going into it? The trend for Jameis just continues to go up and up and up.
Yes.
People that weren't impressed with him early on are now really impressed. And it's great. I read a couple articles, and both individuals that wrote the articles, the reporters, said that they're really almost like they're happy with themselves. They didn't judge Jameis right out of the box, thinking that he was going to come out there and do something unbelievably special.
Right.
And they said they're glad that they didn't, like, write the article going, oh my God, what did Tampa get here when he was throwing interceptions? Because now he's slowly starting to tear it up in practice.
Right.
Because I think it is those things that you were talking about just there. I mean, he's going the 5 out of 5 in the red zone. He's no one nearly throwing as many interceptions. The game is starting to already slow down for him. And that's just how smart Jameis is when
right.
it comes to football.
Right.
I mean, if you're a Florida State fan or a diehard college football fan and didn't have a biased opinion against him, you'd realize just what kind of a special talent that he is. So it's very exciting. Can't wait to watch it tonight, 8 o'clock. I don't know if it's on NFL Network. I'm sure it'll be on maybe your local channel. But if you don't get it, make sure you tune in. And we're going to find this out. Tune in to Freedom 93 tonight, right,
right.
Bill?
That's
do
right.
We have confirmation on that yet?
I will have it, and I'm going to try and get that
okay.
confirmed before we get.
Let's try to get it before the end of the show. We'll try to get it before the end of the show. If not, folks, just tune back in if you want to hear Gene Deckerhoff. And if he's not on at 8, that means that we're not carrying the preseason game yet, which is no big deal. But I guarantee you, the regular season games you'll be able to hear right here on Freedom 93 with good old Gene Deckerhoff with the play-by-play. All right, Super Bowl. How about this? Tony McDaniel is a defensive tackle that Tampa picked up. He had about 10 to 12 teams that wanted him to sign. But Tony McDaniel went out and did research on each of those teams because he wants to win a championship.
Right.
And it was really interesting that when he did his research, he said, gosh, you know, I think this Tampa Bay team is on the edge of being a really, really good team. That they lost 7 or 8 games by 6 points or less last year. They had no offensive coordinator. The offense was in shambles. The offensive line was in shambles. They didn't really have a quarterback. And he goes, and they still lost 7 or 8 games by 6 points or less. He goes, I think that they have a chance to do something special. And I found that really interesting that the free agent had a bunch of different choices. He didn't go to the team that was almost like guaranteed to be in the playoffs. He went to a team through his football eyes now, too. He's not that normal guy researching, and said, I think Tampa is on the verge of doing something good. And I thought that was really interesting, some of them, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's good to know when other when those people that are doing all that research as a player, a coach, or whatever, or a prognosticator can see, hey, this is a door that might be opening, you know? And that's what he did, you know. So if you get those kind of things happening in your favor, Tampa Bay gets, you know, some quality players and, you know, the coaching staff comes together with all that. They get on a nice little ride. And this year, you know, no one's going to expect Super Bowl victory, you know. I mean.
No, yeah.
But at the same time.
But the win. Let's say they win three of those.
Yeah, right.
Three or four of those games that were 6 points or less this year.
That's right.
Because I think you're on to something just then. Is you talked about getting on a roll, and you know this better than anybody, is that you get some momentum. You win a few games. You gain that confidence. The next thing you know, you're expecting to pull out those games. And that's a perfect example is Florida State last year.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's correct.
Is that they were expecting, no matter what the score was, you almost felt that it was like your God-given right to win this football game. And sure enough, they won those football games. And it seems like that what you're talking about with the Bucs, get on a roll a little bit, gain some confidence, win some of those games, and next thing you know, you could find yourself in the race for a playoff spot,
yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. That should be – that's a realistic goal. If you want to turn the team into what it's, you know, heading towards – is set that goal up there. I mean, you set goals every year individually and as a team. And so that goal should be, you know, of course, winning your division, your conference. Those are big goals. In the NFL, those are hefty goals. Everyone wants to say they want to be a Super Bowl champion. But realistically, you know, set realistic goals and let the guys get after it. If they get on a roll, you no telling what could happen. Stranger things have happened than Tampa Bay coming around and you know, getting in the playoffs this year. Definitely.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I know I'm going back to college football, but who would have thought Ohio State would have been playing for a national championship and winning it? You know, in the preseason, they were 16th, and then all these injuries and everything, and the next thing you know, they're playing for a national championship. Also in the Buccaneers camp, and I'm really curious about this, Seminole Bill,
yeah.
Is to see the rookie offensive lineman up there, not Smith, and the other individual that's slipping my mind right now, but to see them get some playing time because they've been doing well in camp, and also throw some of the bill. It's our first chance to really see Dirk Cutter, the new offensive coordinator, running the show. See how he does it. And all indications are is that, boy, he's just – and this is what blows my mind is that sometimes you wonder why a team gets rid of him, and I understand why Atlanta did. They got a whole new coach, so that coach brings in who they want to run their offense. But still, it's just interesting – because it sounds like Dirk Cutter is such a good offensive coordinator that why would the Falcons ever let him go, especially the relationship that he had with Matt Ryan. But bad news for the Falcons, good news for Tampa Bay because now they have him in there. And people are praising him. So we get a chance to see that. And also, the running backs seem to be doing really well, Bill. And you mentioned this last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, just how important it is for Doug Martin to have a good year, how much that will help Jameis Winston out.
I take the heat right off him. I mean, if all, you know, right now the focus and the spotlight is on Jameis. It normally is. But if you want to help a good developing rookie quarterback out, then you bring that running game up to speed, and now you can't just focus on Jameis. You got to watch out for the other guys because, hey, let's just face it, Jameis is going to come into it. The process is already starting. But you bring that other aspect of the game to the table, and it helps Jameis tremendously because now he's got more confidence that if something's not working, he can check into something else, and off we go, and we can still move the football down the field and score.
And one other note, if we jump to the other side of the football, is that it was a smart move by the Buccaneers. I don't care whether you feel anybody's worth the money, but it was good that they locked up Lavonte David.
Yeah,
arguably him and Gerald McCoy are the studs on the defensive side of the ball. I don't want to call David a leader. Gerald McCoy is clearly the leader. But, Senator, you know how the whole contract thing can linger and really be a big detriment to your team when that player is always worried about that. And those questions are always getting asked, not just to him, but to everybody else about a contract that has, I guess, basically nothing to do with the X's and O's. And that can start weighing on people. It's the same way at Florida State always ask about all the field issues.
Yeah,
it's like enough. So that's good that they locked up Lavonte David because he's a special linebacker.
You need him. I mean, you got to keep those guys in house, and you need that to build the continuity that we're talking about. They got to be able to have some continuity, some leadership, and some guys that have been around the organization that can help carry them to the next level with this, you know, new coaching staff that came in and everything else that they're bringing in with the new rookies and all that. So, yeah, that's mad important. You don't want to have to worry about whether your guy's going to be on the field or not.
you know, whether he can practice or not, whether he's, you know, holding out, all that kind of stuff is, like you said, it's just noise that you don't need to hear. But just one little bit of noise I think we didn't hear is, looks like we are definitely going to have the preseason game on Freedom Rack.
Excellent.
So I was just checking back on the calendar. It's on the calendar for August 15th at Bucks versus Vikings. So here we go, 8 p.m.
Excellent.
Check it out. You know, if you're driving around that night or doing something, or even if you're not, if you're at the house, you know, you definitely want to hear old Gene.
Put it in.
Yes, sir.
Put it in to hear
Absolutely.
It up. Mean Gene, that is for sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our entertainment segment, our water check, and also our fitness tip. All that coming up next right here on the Rock Boy Show. Stay with us, my good friends.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Show here on Freedom 93, 8 to 9 every Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. We do appreciate it. Time now for let's kick it off with our water check. We know it's important to drink lots of water. We try to drink a gallon of water every day in a 25 period. And so, Summer's Eric, Summer of Bill, and myself, we always go into a little competition about who can drink the most water in 24 hours. That's 7 days a week, though. So I am at 116 ounces, a little down from last week, Summer of Bill. Where are you at, brother?
Good Lord. 97.
97, not bad at all. But you're a little bit bigger than me, so you need to be hovering around 130, some of them.
You're
okay?
Right. I need it. All right.
Okay. You're getting there. Keep on. Time to tear.
I am at a flat 100.
Wow.
How about that? You know what, Seminole Bill? He's kicking your all over the place.
I know. For 2 weeks in a row, he's actually bested me. How about that?
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row. So Terminus Eric is on a roll. All right. We also do our fitness tip every single week, and I'll make it a quick one this weekend. You know what it is, some of the is that it's not a superset. I'm not talking about doing supersets, but I was reading the other day how important it is to keep up your intensity throughout your workout. Now, it's not going to be necessarily great for building giant muscle, but it's kind of like an in-between type where, no, you're not going to get huge from it, and you shouldn't do it all the time, but also I'm not saying do so many reps that you're going to get ripped, but in between each set, keep it at 45 seconds to a minute, no longer. So no texting, no posting Instagram pictures of yourself. Good Lord, what Eric's posting on that stuff.
Looking in the mirror stuff, kind of stuff? No, can't do it.
It's none of that. So keep it to about a minute or less. Got that, Seminole Bill?
Got it.
Excellent. All right, now our entertainment segment, and real quick, Wakulla Fun Fest with new hours. You were there last night.
Yep.
From what, 4 to 8? 4 to 9?
4 to 8, that's correct.
4 to 8?
We're always there a little bit later, but 4 to 8, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Wayland Wolves Band was there, awesome. You know, had some other vendors come out. We really enjoyed having all the different vendors out there last night. And it's moving steadily toward what we want it to be, a great event. So if you haven't been there
that
before, come and check it out every other Friday.
Yes, every other Friday. So the next one, I always like to throw the date out, though, some of the bills. The next date that the Wakulla Fun Fest takes place is?
August 28th.
August 28th at Hudson Park. And they can always go to the Facebook page too, right?
Right.
Wakulla Fun Fest.
Correct.
Yeah, so just look it up on that. Okay. Our entertainment segment this week, we're not at Fear of the Walking Dead yet. That's August 23rd coming up, so we have a little bit of time. But guess what? On HBO, is Hard Knocks is back. And it was the debut of Hard Knocks on HBO with the Houston Texans. Did you have a chance to catch that, either one of you guys?
I did not catch that one yet, but I like watching the show. Wow, so the Texans are on this year. I did not know that.
Yeah.
My bad.
It was exactly. They didn't come with a lot of fanfare. It was kind of bizarre.
I stumbled upon it.
I was watching True Detective, and they said, don't forget to miss to Hard Knocks. And I'm like, okay, when is that?
Yeah.
But so I did watch the debut show. And what really bothers me sometimes is, once in a while, we live in such a cynical world. The whole show goes, you know, I watched the show. I thought it was good. Not like, oh, my God. But, you know, it's a good show, especially if you like football. A lot of it was on J.J. Watt, obviously.
Yep.
Why not? Best defensive player in the league, maybe the best player in the league, arguably, right now. But, you know, they showed him training, you know, at night, like everybody else went home to practice. He's still out there in his pads training and doing all this stuff. Then he's signing autographs. So it's like he's the last one, and everybody else has gone home and gone to bed, and he's still working out and still signing autographs and everything like that. And I just heard people comment going, do we really think he's doing that? Or is it because the cameras are there and he's trying to come off of this perception? And I said, you know what, guys? Are we really going to question J.J. Watt's motive behind doing that, signing autographs for kids and maybe working a little bit harder? And my question was, how do you think he's the best player? And even if he was, maybe going a little extra mile because those cameras are there, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that right now in this world? When you have guys driving 140 miles an hour in the NFL with a kid in the back, a gun under the seat, and dope in the car, when you have Ray Rice beating up the chick, I mean, there's so many negative things that we want to just harp on, and then at the same time, Seminole Bill, we wonder, well, why don't we ever talk about any good things?
Yeah.
You know, and here's J.J. Watt doing all this, showing it maybe what it takes to be the best NFL player, and everybody's so cynical. It just bothers me.
Well, they can say whatever they want, but that's what you normally hear about J.J. He does the extra mile, and that's why he's the best player on the defense side of the ball. And secondly, you can say the same thing about someone like Jameis. He walked it. He's there before everybody else in the morning, and he's, you know, on that field when everybody else is heading out. And that's what they say about him right now, the same way he was before. Some things don't change.
Yeah, they said he's a nerd.
Yeah, well,
he's a football nerd.
Great things come out of that kind of attitude. And you know what? That's what it takes to be the best.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I guess it just – sometimes it just irritates me a little bit where it's like, are you just saying stuff, just talking out of your you-know-what people just to talk? And don't tell me how bad everything is that when something good comes along. And even if he was Seminole Bill, they are entertainers too.
Right.
They get endorsements. They do all that. So that's part of the package
with
anybody. So you have to be a great football player, but along with being a great a standout in no matter what you do, there's other opportunities. So why wouldn't you enhance yourself a little bit like that? If you're an actor, you go the extra mile because maybe you're going to get an endorsement deal. Especially if you're an athlete. That's how they make hundreds of millions of dollars on the side, is by doing that. And they deserve it, too, because a lot of their careers don't last that long.
But the same is the same. Look back to some of the greats, whether it's Muhammad Ali, who could definitely get a message across for the camera. He was one of the great communicators, even back in the tribulation days. He was great at that. He knew how to use that camera to his advantage. And then people like Primetime, who started all the array of things. You know, Deion Sanders, man, he's one of our own, and he was one of the ones that first in the football realm, I guess, learned to use it to his advantage. And boy, did he ever. Primetime was born.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Whether you back it up or you don't back it up, the bottom line is that's the right, and that's part of their business model. Yeah. And people sometimes forget that it is a business. Welcome to Bill. Another great show. I knew we had a lot to talk about, and honestly, we could have gone on another hour or two. We were laughing about that when Terminus Eric has to say, hey, it's break time. But it is. We're out of here. We're out of here, brother. Another successful show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in as they do each and every week here to the Mark Lloyd Show, 8 to 9 on 3 to 93, over to Mark Lloyd. Morning. was for Jameis Winston in his first game tonight, Templeville.
Salute, turn up, brother. Good luck.
There you go. First time to Jared Templeville. I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.